The visit to the cave takes about 1 hour 15 minutes. You will always be accompanied by a guide. For security reasons, as the lighting changes all the time, you must not leave the group. The temperature inside the cavity is a constant 11 degrees all year round. Humidity levels vary between 95 and 100%. It is absolutely forbidden to touch the concretions as we need to protect them. You may take photographs, but no flashes are permitted. You may bring your dog into the cave, but it must be carried throughout the visit. You will be taken through a series of levels down to a depth of 120 meters. There are 700 steps on your walk, and the only exit is via the lift at the end. Labelled one of the Grand Sites de France, this cave ranks among the most visited and studied subterranean sites in the country. Just a quick comment about ownership of caves in France. They usually belong to the owners of the land under which they are found. For this cave, the proprietor is the village of Ognac-Lavaine, which also administers this great site. The speleological sections are run by the Ognac-Issarac Intercommunal Committee. We wish you an excellent journey into the depths of the earth and back in time. A short introductory video will tell you more about the Grand Sites de France network. Until 2015, only 14 French sites had received this label. They have demonstrated that it is possible to manage ecological sites through a combination of preservation and promotion. The first video is followed by a documentary explaining the various geological processes at work in the formation of caves over 100 million years ago. The illustrated panel shows a section diagram of the Avennes d'Ognac's underground network. Its subterranean gallery spreads over more than 4 kilometres with 3 distinct sections. One section has been made accessible to the general public. The Ognac-Issarac speleological networks are set aside for sport enthusiasts. And there is a third section that is totally protected and not open to visitors. Scientific studies have confirmed that these sites are very well preserved. They have helped us to understand the various phases involved in the formation of the cavity. The site is now a world-class cave for the study of subterranean climatology. After walking along an artificial tunnel with 220 steps, we are now in the upper hall. You can see the only natural entrance in the ceiling some 30 metres above you, a sinkhole measuring 6 metres long and 3 metres wide. This is the entry, called an Avennes, that the first team of potholers, led by the speleologist Robert de Joly, used to enter the cave on 19th of August 1935. They were shown the entry by villagers who called the Avennes Bertrus. The Avennes was used as a mass grave and no one wanted to explore it, probably because this vertical access was difficult. It was not occupied by prehistoric humans. It was caused by a fracture known as a diaclase or joint, which allowed water to infiltrate the rock. The Avennes d'Ognac is a major subterranean site with a number of interesting aesthetic, geological, speleological, and scientific aspects. The bank under the Avennes is called a talus deposit, which is formed by the accumulation of scree falling in from the exterior, stones broken off by frost, soil and leaves brought in by rain, animal remains that fell accidentally or were thrown into the Avennes. Digging into the talus deposit is like a voyage back in time. On the surface, we find bones from domestic animals thrown in by farmers, while lower down, there are older bones of animals that no longer exist in our region. Reindeer and buffalo lived here during the last ice age, that is, until around 12,000 years ago. During recent digs, we have found fragments of human skulls, which have been dated at 2,000 years before our era. The whole collection was found by Robert de Joly on the 19th of August, 1935. This illustrious French speleologist was the pioneer of modern potholing. In particular, he invented the portable steel cable electron ladder and photophoretic lighting. He had already explored more than 2,000 caves before finding this Avene. This first exploration of the Avene took 10 hours. 10 hours during which the explorer and his four teammates went from one marvellous sight to another. Now it's your turn to follow in their footsteps and see these marvels for yourself. Tens of thousands of years ago, an enormous stalagmite stood opposite the Talos deposit, but it collapsed against the wall because of its weight, estimated at 200 tons. We have dated the center of the stalagmite as at least 350,000 years old. The explorers call this stalagmite the Tower of Pisa. Here we have an overview of the first hall, the De Joly Room. It is 125 meters long and 90 meters wide. This room alone covers 6,300 square meters with a volume of 200,000 cubic meters, and the ceilings are, on average, 30 meters high. In caves, it's not surprising that we lose track of space and time. We no longer have any reference points. For example, do you realize that we could put a 12-story building into this space? About 6 million years ago, the deepest part of the cave was filled with water, which hollowed out a gallery in the limestone. You will have the chance to admire this section during the last stop on your visit. Water can hollow out such huge underground spaces because limestone is slightly soluble. Rainwater contains dissolved carbon dioxide, which makes it slightly acidic. It dissolves the limestone by widening the cracks in the rock. When this comes into contact with the atmosphere in the cave, water evaporates, leaving a crystalline deposit called calcite, which then forms concretions. There are several types of concretions. The best known are stalagmites, which rise from the floor, and stalactites, which form on the ceiling. They grow extremely slowly, a few millimeters or a few centimeters in a century. The shape of these stalagmites in front of us led to their being called piles of plates. They are only found under the highest ceilings and close to entry areas. They are only found under the highest ceilings and close to entry areas. This particular shape is created by a violent splashing from a drop of water falling onto the top of the stalagmite, and aerodynamic conditions caused by the site's natural entry. If the drops fall from a lower height and more slowly, stalagmites take a different shape, known as candles. You can see some on the right of the platform. The small stalactites on the ceiling are made by the rapid fall of drops of water. They have not yet had enough time to make large deposits on the ceiling. In this part of the cave, there are stalagmites with quite a different form. They are called palm trees. You can see them next to the piles of plates. Palm trees can rise to as much as 15 meters. Among them, you can see the pine cone, which is 11 meters high and has become a symbol for Orgnac. As with the piles of plates, palm trees are formed under high ceilings, but perhaps there is a more substantial flow of water. The bursts of water falling on top of the stalagmite cause splashes which deposit limestone on its sides and form petals. Scientists have observed that concretions serve as excellent archives of the Earth's climatic evolution. Indeed, during their growth, they store information about the atmosphere and the nature of the ground. Like core sampling in polar ice, sampling makes it possible to reconstitute climatic evolutions on Earth during the Quaternary era, and this cave has been used in studies on these phenomena. On the left, A few meters in front of this wall, you can see a series of stalactites, called a drapery, which has joined up with stalagmites below them and has formed the pipe organ. In the center, we can see Robert de Joly's funeral urn. Shortly before his death in 1968, he asked that his heart be placed in the Avenue d'Ornac. To the left of the pipe organ, there is the access to the potholing galleries. Two types of visits are organized: the underground hike, which takes half a day, and the subterranean odyssey, which takes a full day. These offer an opportunity for serious speleologists to discover the cave's other fascinating landscapes. They are available all year round. Information and reservations are available from the reception. Here we can imagine the path taken by the first explorers using the natural entrance. Imagine how they moved along with simple acetylene lamps on their helmets. But let's go back to the formation of the cave. As you saw in the presentation film, a subterranean river hollowed out the galleries. It flowed 130 meters underground. Today, streams are found at even greater depths, between 160 meters and 210 meters. They are not accessible. We are now walking on an enormous pile of blocks, which was formed by a series of collapses from the vault and walls. These occurred over tens of thousand years. Initially, the gallery hollowed out by the subterranean river was located 50 meters beneath our feet. Despite its tumultuous history, the cave is extremely stable, and stalagmites formed on the top blocks are about 15,000 years ago. No human construction is as old as that. Despite speleological exploration, it is not possible to walk along these active networks. However, we know that they exist because we have used boreholes to observe and record variations in the water level. Recent colorations seem to indicate that in periods of drought, underground streams flow mostly towards the Ardèche gorges. But during periods of heavy rain, some of the water flows towards the River Cèze. This backlit display shows how water falls onto a magnificent stalagmite in this room. On the ceiling, you can see a model of a speleologist. To give you a better idea of the large distances here, that model is 80 meters away from where you are standing. The natural entry that we see is also 80 meters away. It is really exceptional to see such long distances under the ground. Potholers can explore another speleological track along the ledge, the subterranean vertigo, which is available through reservations. Sometimes drops of water stay on the ceiling for such a long time before falling that they leave a deposit of calcite, which forms stalactites. If these drops run down a sloping wall, they leave thin lines of calcite which, as they build up, form draperies. These are extremely thin and transparent. The calcite in draperies is naturally white and transparent. Areas in ochre and brown are caused by pigments, transported by water and trapped in concretions. These are clay, iron oxide and organic matter picked up by the water and displaced as it infiltrated the limestone rock. Over time, the different concentrations of pigments have developed into the stunning contrasts you see here. Life exists in this underground world. In the cave, there are a number of different species, including bats, insects such as beetles, and even crustaceans that have adapted to this environment. We are now 100 meters below the surface, but in fact the platform is 300 meters above sea level. This means that where we are standing is still 200 meters above sea level. To the north, the Ardèche River, as it passes through the gorge, is at 75 meters altitude, while to the south, the Monte spring of the River Cèze is 85 meters above sea level. We are now 120 metres below ground, and you can see the original gallery, which was hollowed out some 5 to 6 million years ago, when water was still flowing here. As the gallery has not collapsed, we have found evidence of ancient history. The vaults are still in place, and you can see magnificent traces of corrosion on the walls. The layers, which you can easily see on the wall to your left, mark the different phases during the creation of this gallery. Shortly, we will see colossal pillars which were formed after the waters disappeared. This cavern is called the Red Room because of the vast amount of clay sediments on the floor and the walls. Take advantage of this sixth stop to admire the fairy-like ambience in the musical cavern. The music you will hear is an original composition created especially for this site by two composers, the Kleophas brothers. Thank you for your visit. We hope that you have enjoyed the time you have spent in the Avennes d'Ornac. After your journey back up in the lift, why not visit the Cité de Préhistoire, where you will learn about the life of the first inhabitants in our region from 350,000 to 500 years ago.